Genesis chapter number 1, we begin in verse number 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the night day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Heavenly Father, bless us, Lord, as we preach the Bible. Thank you for what we learned last week. Thank you for what we learned about you. Thank you for what we learned about our Creator. I pray, Lord, now that we watch the very, very, very first act of creation, Lord, after speaking into existence the heavens and the earth, the very first act of creation after that, I pray, Lord, that you'd teach us some wonderful things that would help us in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I shared an illustration with our people that were here last Sunday night, and I want to share it with our Sunday morning crowd also. There's a story told about a little boy, and he got a hold of a flashlight. And I said to our folks last Sunday night, children love flashlights. I don't know what a couple batteries cost, but moms, if you just get to the point where the kids are driving you nuts, give them a flashlight. It's worth the price of a couple batteries. Yeah, they're going to run them down. They're going to leave it on probably and leave it laying somewhere. But there's a fascination with children and flashlights. And so this little boy got mom and dad's flashlight, snuck out onto the front porch of the house, and he was sitting out there after dark in the darkness, just turning the flashlight on and turning it off and turning it on and turning it off and pointing it this way and turning it on and turning it off. He did that several times, and there was a neighbor also sitting on his front porch across the street, and he looked and saw this light flashing on and off. Thought, I better go investigate. Maybe something's going on. So he went across the street and watched from the sidewalk and observed this little boy for some time. And finally he said, "Son," the boy sitting there, "turn it on, turn it off. Point this way, turn it on, turn it off." He said, "Son, what are you doing?" And he said, "Sir, I'm poking holes in the darkness. I'm poking holes in the darkness." I love that story. We're going to use as our theme this year, shine as lights in the world. You're going to hear a lot of preaching from the pulpit of Blessed Hope Baptist Church encouraging you to poke holes in the darkness. And so here, I wanted to start the year by preaching on the second oldest doctrine of the Bible. I started preparing this message, intending to preach it last week. But when I began to develop my introduction concerning the oldest doctrine in the Bible, soon that grew into a sermon. And you know what? I think it was the right place to start the year. Because you can't go wrong starting with God. As I've often told folks and asked folks, I've often said to them, let me just ask you an honest question. If you put God in something, is it going to be better or worse? Most honest people would look at you and say, well, preacher, it'd be better. If you take God out of something, is it going to be better or worse? Well, they'd say, preacher, it's going to be worse. Well, what better place than you can start a year than just remembering and recognizing the oldest doctrine in the Bible, and that is the doctrine of the existence of God. And so let God be a part of your life. Are you listening? Let him be a part of your marriage. Let him be a part of your family. Let him be a part of every day of your life. Don't just give him Sunday, give him Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Give him the mornings, give him the afternoons, give him the evenings, give him the night, the last thing before you go to bed. Just include him in everything. Go, Lord, help me now. I'm going to lay my head down. Give me good rest and strength so that tomorrow I can live for you again. Start every morning with him. Open the Bible and read some and pray. And just, hey, every day with God is a good day. Every day with God's a good day. Second oldest doctrine in the Bible is the doctrine of separation. The doctrine of God, we've seen last week that God is the Creator, that God is the Trinity, and that God is good. The second oldest doctrine in the Bible is what we'll preach on this morning, the doctrine of separation. I want to give you two introductory statements, and this introduction almost turned into a sermon also, but I'll try to keep it into an introduction length. Two introductory statements. Let me say this. Number one, a holy God created the light. Look at what it says here. A holy God created the light. And God said, verse number 3, "Let there be light." And there was light. Light was the product of God's word. He spoke and light appeared. But light was not just a product of his word. It was a product of his character. It came from him, flowed from him. Light still shines today. Light still endures and still tells, and still stands as a witness of God's power and God's person. You see, folks, God imparted light from him to us. And when he did so, he shared himself with us. You see, God, listen to what I'm going to say here. God is light. He didn't just create light. He is light. You say, preacher, where do you get that? 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him, this is important, in him is no darkness at all. God chose light to be his witness, to stand forever as a testifier of who he is and for what he stands for. But preacher, wait a minute, preacher, stop. If God created the light, here's a legitimate question. If God created the light, where did darkness come from? Preacher, did God create the darkness also? Well, let's examine the scriptures. Look, if you will, at chapter 1, verse number 1 again. Let's review some of the scriptures from last week. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Notice this, what was there also. Verse 2, and the earth was without form and void. And what's the next word? Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Say, preacher, when God created, in verse number 1, the heaven and the earth, was part of that creation darkness, did he create the darkness? I'll be able to answer that question for you. We see evidence, undeniable evidence, that he created light. In verse number 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. But you will never find in the Bible a verse that says that God said, let there be darkness, and there was darkness. Well, preacher, where did the darkness come from if it didn't come from God? I mean, we're at the very beginning. We're at the first book of the Bible, in the first chapter of the first book, in the first verse of the first book. So surely there's nothing that's happened prior to this. Wait a minute, let me correct you on that. Although Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 is the very first verse in the Bible, before the first verse in the Bible, there existed eternity past. This may be the starting point of the heavens and the earth, and this may be the starting point of the creation of this world, but this is not the starting point of God. And so even though Genesis 1:1 starts by telling us the beginning of the heavens and the earth and God's creation of all that is contained therein, there were things that have happened before this that are recorded in other places in the Bible that give us a clue concerning eternity past. This is a great thought. Remember the story I told you? Every once in a while, I'll tell you what, I ought to one of these days just write a little pamphlet of things that children have said to me here at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. But we start every Sunday morning, Sunday school hour, and opening assembly, finding out who had a birthday, and then we sing happy birthday to them. At the end of the service, a little girl came through out the back door and shook my hand, and she looked at me, and I could tell something was on her mind. I said, do you need something? She said, I've got a question for you. She said, when was God born? I like that because that just shows me that this little girl came to church and she was thinking. I don't know whether it was the birthday song or something that I said in the message, but somewhere she all of a sudden had this thought, when was God born? And I was able to get down on one knee and take a few minutes and very simply, so that a child could understand it, explain to her that, watch this, folks, God was never born. Well, where was his beginning? He's always been. When will be his ending? He will never end. God is eternal. God is everlasting. And so before he created the heavens and the earth, God still was. And so there are some things that happened before Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. If you'd like to, flip over in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter number 14. Isaiah chapter number 14. We'll be back to Genesis chapter 1 in just a second. Isaiah chapter number 14 tells us one of the events that happened before the heavens and the earth were created. Isaiah chapter 14, verse number 12, we read the story of the fall of Lucifer. This is an archangel, one of the three archangels of God. And we see that he is going to sin. See, folks, sin was present. Watch this. This is important you understand. Sin was present before God created the heaven and the earth. Darkness was present before God created the heaven and the earth. But God did not create the darkness. The source of darkness comes from the story of Lucifer. In Isaiah chapter 14 and verse number 11, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." One old preacher said, the devil, old Lucifer, he had eye problems. He had eye problems. And he did. When all of a sudden our conversations become more about us than God, we all got eye problems. Get us in trouble every time. What I'm going to do? And so he became dissatisfied with just being one of God's three archangels. He says that he wants to ascend and exalt his throne above the stars of God. And yet he said, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will, watch this, I will be like the Most High. Now, folks, listen to me and let me help every one of you in here and help myself by just listen, sometimes a preacher needs to say something to his people, and sometimes a preacher needs to say it so he can hear it himself. Listen, folks, there's only one God. There's only one God. I think I mentioned this last week, and an old timer said that near his death, I've learned two things in my life. Number one, there is a God. Number two, I'm not him. Amen. It'd be good for all of us to be reminded there's only one God. What I said a few minutes ago in our introduction, my first sermon during the announcements, and Brother Reiser leaned over when I got back and said, there was more Bible preached during your announcements than most churches will hear this morning at their actual sermon. But what I said was, listen to me, hey, you know what? You're going to struggle with some things till you settle who's God. I mean, when I look in your God-given eyeball, I say, wait a minute. If you believe something and God believes something different, who's wrong? And you've got to struggle to answer that. You know what? It's because you've got the same rebellious spirit that was in the heart of Satan that caused him to fall. Because you know what? He didn't want to accept God as God. He wanted to be equal with God. Now, let's stay with the scriptures here. Watch this. The devil said, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Verse 14, I will be like the Most High. Verse 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake kingdoms? So we see the fall of Satan in Revelation chapter 12, verse number 3 and 4. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having seven heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And we see that this Lucifer is also called a dragon. And when he fell from heaven, his tail caught, drew the third part of the stars of heaven. And when the devil fell, he took a third of the angels of heaven with him. Now, wait a minute, folks. This is before Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Let me give you an answer, a biblical answer about where the darkness came from. I'll read Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10, 11 and 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, listen to me, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So when God said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, when God created the heavens and the earth, let me say this, God did not create darkness. Darkness was already out there, already part of what was there because of the fall of Lucifer. Now, this is very important that you understand that. A holy God, number one, created the light. Number two, Satan's rebellion produced the darkness. Satan's rebellion produced the darkness. With Satan's sin came darkness. His disobedience created the darkness. His rebellion produced darkness. He became the anti-G-O-D, anti-God, the opposite of all that God is. God is righteous, Satan is unrighteous. God is truth. Satan is the father of all lies. Watch this and listen to it. Here's the message. God is light and Satan is darkness. Now, the oldest doctrine in the Bible is the doctrine of separation. In this next act of creation, chapter 1, verse 3, 4, and 5, we see that God does something that's very unique and very interesting and very important that we understand. In the opening verses of the Word of God, we see the doctrine of separation. Verse number 3, Genesis chapter 1. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was what? Good. It was good. The light's good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So let me summarize what we just read. God created the light. You say, who created the darkness? Satan authored the darkness. God looked at the light and said, it's good. Then God divided, that's the Bible word here, divided or separated the light from the darkness. Not only did he separate it, he named them. In verse number 5, and God called the light day and the darkness he called night. You know what? He wanted to make sure that they were labeled, they were properly identified. Okay, this is light and this is darkness, and so there's no confusion. I'm going to name one. That's day and that's night. Then he says, and the evening and the morning was the first day. So God created the light. He saw it and declared it good. He separated the light from the darkness, and God named the light and the darkness, forever labeling them for all time. Yet this politically correct world tells us, as Christians, dim your light, because you might offend the darkness. You need to dim the light, as we were getting calls this week. You know, putting those crosses out on your front lawn could hurt some people's feelings. It could offend some people. What kind of a Christian are you if you're offending someone? Can I say this, folks? The act of murder is an offense against a holy God. When's the last time somebody's concerned about offending God? We're all seem to be concerned about offending somebody. Dim your light, church. Dim your light, church member. Dim your light, born again Christian. I mean, somebody in the darkness might be offended. You might offend the darkness. The politically correct would tell us light and darkness, they need to coexist. I mean, what they need to do is just concentrate on what they have in common and not talk so much about what the differences are. Okay, let's have that conversation. What does light and darkness have in common? Not a thing. End of conversation. We're moving on. The politically correct world tells us light needs to be more tolerant of darkness. Number 4, if you preach against the darkness, you're guilty of hate crimes. If you must preach against sin, then do it generally. Watch this, but don't name it. Don't label it. Well, God did. He named it. He labeled it. He called it by name. I want to establish something and help you this morning. To be a holy people, to be true believers, we must be willing to follow what God did here and understand that light is supposed to be divided from the darkness. I'm going to have you go over now into the New Testament in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Now stay with me this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, we see again the great doctrine of separation further established. We see God speak to it. We see the commands of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 11. Be reminded, those of you that understand your Bible, be reminded that God used Paul to send his words to a church in Corinth. And this church, of all the churches represented in the Bible, was the most carnal church, the most worldly church. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, "O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged." That word enlarged means open your heart to what I'm about to say to you. Listen to it, accept it, open your heart. I'm speaking to you as unto my dear children. I'm trying to help you here. I think that's the heart of this pastor this morning. Notice verse number 14. "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, watch this, here's the doctrine of separation. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the all. The Lord Almighty. And remember this, folks, when you're reading the Bible, this letter originally did not have chapters and it did not have verses. That was added later on, and I don't think they changed anything by adding that, and I'm kind of glad they did. It makes it easy for us to find where we need to go. But after he says, verse number 18, and we'll be a father, listen, wherefore, come out from among you, verse 17, be ye separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Notice, chapter 7, verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now listen, folks, we need to recognize something here at the beginning of the year. We need to understand if we're going to properly embrace the theme, the challenge, the command of Philippians 2:15, and shine as lights in the world, we're going to have to understand some things. Listen, God created light. The devil is the author of darkness. We're to be children of light. We're not to have fellowship or communion with darkness. We're to be separated from it, a holy people unto God, so that we can shine into the darkness and draw people out of the darkness towards Christ. Please listen to what I have to say. Look, if you will, again in verse number 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath, what's the next word? Righteousness with what's the next word? Now I had this vision when I read that this morning. And I said to myself, you know what? We have righteousness. That word's there in the King James Bible. Did you look at it? Righteousness. And we are told that, ask this question, for what fellowship hath righteousness with what's the next word? Unrighteousness. I'm beginning to look at those two words. And the word righteousness is in both of them. There's only one difference in the second word from the first word, and that's a little prefix. And what is that prefix? Un. And then because I'm a product of the 70s, I had this vision. I went back in time. And I thought to myself, you know what? When I was growing up, they advertised that there was cola, and then there was the what? The uncola. How many of you remember, are old enough to remember, when 7-Up went on a campaign promoting itself as the uncola? So we have righteousness, and we have unrighteousness. We have cola. I mean, this is deep stuff. You think I've been there wasting my time before church, but I'm having visions in there. Like, how do you make people understand this? Okay, you got cola, and you got the uncola, which means it's not cola. All right, now, there was a big campaign, you know. Forget the cola, join, start drinking the uncola. And so we have the cola, we have the uncola. Now, folks, listen to me. I know that we're having some fun, but we have righteousness. We have unrighteousness. And they're not the same. They're not the same. Does anybody look at that and really believe that it's the same as that? Now, this is what this culture keeps trying to do. They keep saying, well, we can have righteousness and we can mingle it with unrighteousness. God said, wait a minute, I established way back in Genesis chapter number 1. God says, I divided the light from the darkness. I'm the one that inspired Paul to write these words. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what righteousness, a fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness. Listen to the next phrase. And what communion hath light with darkness? And the question ought to be obvious. None! But this is the type of Christianity that, for the most part, has taken over the United States of America. What they want to do is they want to take their cola, and then they want to take their uncola. And they want to say, well, we can have both. We can drink a little cola. We can drink a little uncola. Oh, my goodness. I may be here tonight. I may not be here tonight. And they want to stand there with the coal and the uncle in their hand and call us old-fashioned, call us narrow-minded, and say, you know what, I don't know what the problem is. There's not that much difference between the two. And they want to say, what we can do is we can put a little God in it, and then we can put a little devil in it. We can put a little righteousness, and we can put a little unrighteousness. And we can put a little bit of heaven, and we can put a little bit of the world. We can put a little bit of the Bible, and then we can put a little bit of secularism. Wait a minute, folks. Hold on a minute. Wait a minute. What's going on here? What's that look like? Come on, what's it look like? Isn't that something? And does it look just a little... I mean, is there any similarity? Come on now. I know this is really not... Did you know that 7-Up's not green? Did you understand it's not green? These kids, you know, they've never drunk out of cans, have they? Do you understand that it's clear? Oh, wait. I mean, even in the green bottle, is there any similarity here? What about this? Now, I hope you... Listen, I know we're having some fun here, but I hope you understand something. You know what? You go ahead and try to mix them, and you know what you're going to end up with? You're going to end up looking like this. You're not going to end up looking like that. Now, folks, it should not be considered an unreasonable thing for a preacher in 2014. Good night. You're still preaching. It's 2004. I know the date. I got calendars. I've got a cell phone. I can flip it on. I can look right. I know what year it is. And guess what? Just because it's 2014 doesn't mean that this book has changed one bit. But preacher, you don't understand. The culture's changed. Of course the culture changes. It changes all the time. But God never changes. And His Word never changes. And you know what He said? He said, I'm the one that divided the light from the darkness. I did that within the first few sentences of my Word. I established a doctrine that I expected to be respected for all time. I didn't only create the light, I saw it was good, proclaimed it good, then I divided it from the darkness, then I labeled it. Listen to me, I did not create darkness. It came from somewhere else. Now listen to me, folks, and I want you to just do an honest reading. I wish some of you, maybe that's struggling in some of these things, would go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 this week, and I mean just read the entire chapter in the context and read chapter 7, but you know what? How do you escape these questions? Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? Watch this. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And we are considered fanatics, extremists. There's churches and preachers that'll point to this pulpit and say, hey, they got a cult going on down there. Simply because I stand up and say, hey, God is light. And in Him is no darkness. He's light. He's not light with a little darkness. He's not light with, 99% light and 1%. He's light. In Him is no darkness. And He's a holy God. And He wants to call out unto Himself a holy people. And we're to be the light of the world. We're to shine as lights in this world. How can we shine as lights if we take our light and try to mix it with darkness? Folks, listen to me. The light, watch this. The darkness dims the light. It dulls the light. You mix enough darkness in the light, pretty soon it eliminates the light. You start mixing holiness with unholiness and righteousness with unrighteousness, and pretty soon you're going to look like this, and you're not going to look like the light. You're going to look like darkness. Please hear what this preacher's saying. There's several things we could say this morning. Let me just give you a few, okay, and we won't be long. To be a holy people, we must be willing to divide from this world and from the sin of this world. We need to understand that we are to represent our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the light of the world. When he left, he told us that we're the lights of the world. We're to reflect him. As I mentioned last Sunday night, and I want to say this to our Sunday morning crowd, you know what, folks? We are not the sun. The light does not come from us. It comes from him. We represent the moon. You go out on a dark night and you look around and man, blessed are those nights where the moon's shining bright. Somebody said, well, it's dark outside, and you walk out, and all of a sudden, have you ever seen where the full moon looks like it's twice the size it ought to be? And I mean, it's reflecting. Listen, watch this. Here's the question I asked last Sunday night. Is the moon shining? No, it's reflecting. The only chance I have of obeying this commandment to shine as lights in the world is to get myself in a position where I can reflect the light of the Lord Jesus Christ into the darkness. Now, the natural conclusion of what we talked about last Sunday, I know I'm repeating myself, but folks, you know what? I need to get the whole church in on this, so you know what I'm doing, all right? I need everybody. I need our Sunday morning crowd in on this. Watch this, folks. Preacher, sometimes I go out there and I don't see the moon. Where's it at? I mean, it's somewhere. Where's it at? Let me tell you where it's at. It's on the other side of the world. You can't see it because the world you're standing on is blocking it. It's on the other side of the world. How come sometimes, preacher, I get up and there's just a sliver of a moon, or a quarter of a moon, or a half of a moon, or three quarters of a moon? What causes the moon to dim down to almost nothing, or to ramp up to full brightness? What is it? Come on, science students. Come on, young people. Come on, you bus kids. What is casting a shadow on the moon? What is it? What's got between the sun and the moon? The world. That is why God inspired the Apostle John to write, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Now, folks, listen to me. Most of us as Christians, if we are honest, come on now, let's just be honest. There's been times we look back in our Christian life since we got saved, and there's been times maybe we've shone bright. I mean, man, we're 200-watt bulb for Jesus. And there's times we verily, verily glowed at all, maybe like a little nightlight in some dark hallway. What caused us to change the intensity of the brightness? I can tell you what it was in Jerry Ross's life. Sometime I let too much of the world get between me and the Savior. And the more world and the more worldliness and the more that I ignored the doctrine of separation and thought that I could live with one foot in the church house and one foot in the world, one foot living for God, one part of me living for God, one part living for the devil, all I did was dim the light. Now listen to me, I want you to. I'm here to encourage you. I'm not here to condemn you, I'm here to encourage you. You can. I mean every Christian in this room, all you young people, you can this year shine as lights in the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. But you're going to need to position yourself somewhere where you can see Jesus clearly and where none of the world is blocking the light so that he can reflect from you into this world. Does that make sense to you? To be a holy people, we must be willing to divide from the darkness and become the light that God wants us to be. We need to recognize there's two sides. There's righteousness and unrighteousness. There's light and darkness. There's Christ and Belial. There's the believer and the infidel. There's the temple of God and idols. Say, preacher, I don't know about this. You just seem to make it where you think everything is black and white. Don't you understand there's a lot of gray areas? I hear that more. It just seems like since the 1970s when we started the church, the gray area started about here, and now it's grown into this mushroom cloud of gray.
And Christians everywhere are talking about this gray area, and things that used to be black are now gray, and things that used to be obviously white are now gray, and now there's a little white and a little black, and there's this mushroom cloud of gray in everybody's mind. Well, I don't really know for sure if that's black. I think it's more of a gray area. I'm going to help you with that. Folks, let me say first of all this. Gray is produced by combining two colors. Come on, look right up here. Gray is produced by combining two colors. You know, come on, kids. Crayons? Are y'all too old for crayons? Because I'm not. I still like the color. I don't do a lot of it, obviously, but I got grandchildren, and when they come over, hey, you know, one of them will get a page, and when I'll get a page, and I think I'm one of the best colors, and you know what? I can stay in the lines. Most of the time, I stay right in the line. And I just think I'm going to tell you, we ought to do that. We ought to have a coloring contest. Preacher against all the kids at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We'll put it out there. Maybe I can win a trophy for that. I'm not just... So chilly things just not working out for me, but maybe I can win a coloring contest. I don't know. But come on. I mean, you know, and then you take a color, and you take a certain color, and you put it down there, and then you take another color and put it on top of it, and it changes that color where it's not either one of the colors. It's a different color. Well, just take your black and take your white, put them on top of each other and see what you get. Folks, listen, everybody talking, well, I think that's a gray area. Let me tell you what gray areas. Gray areas are where Christians are trying to mingle a bunch of black and white together. Gray areas are areas of compromise. And it used to be pretty narrow, now it's everything almost. I mean, I can't get anybody to be emphatic about anything anymore. Everybody wants to say, yeah, I know that's wrong, but... They're trying to move from black to gray. Watch this, folks. Let me give you another thought. Gray is a shade of black. I'm just using good old-fashioned horse sense logic on you, okay? I'm just a country boy, country preacher. I don't think the Word of God's complicated or deep. I think God's given us good common sense. Hey, I participate in this, but preacher, you shouldn't preach against it because it's a gray area. Gray is a shade of black. Let me give you a third thought on that. If you've decided to create a gray area, you see, instead of having two choices, like I think God gives us, where, you know, Jerry Rush, you really believe you walk, preacher, you really just kind of have a really black and white mentality, right and wrong mentality. Yeah, it's pretty much. Pretty much. I think there's more plain right and wrong than there is. It's just that we've been affected by humanism and we don't want to, you know, have any absolutes in our life, and that's creeped into Christianity, and nobody wants anything to be totally right or totally wrong, because you never know. We, as this carnal, we might want to dabble in it, so let's not totally condemn it. Come on now. What I find out is, it used to be black. Watch this till your kids start doing it. Or your grandkids start doing it. Amen. I mean, man, 25, 30 years ago, it was black and white. Now all of a sudden, you know, you can't find those two colors in your color box anymore. You lost them. Now watch this, and I'll help you with something. Okay, if you want to create gray, create it. Now you got three choices. You get to choose white, gray, or black. Watch this. Choose one. Well, I want to choose two. Well, no, choose one. Okay, if it's gray, so you now, you know, it used to be this is black, this is white, this is wrong, this is right, this is unrighteous, this is righteous, this is the devil, this is God. And it used to be, you know, we just chose God and we just got over here and done it. But now this newfangled Christianity, a bunch of backsliders and people are filled with carnality, want to make everything great. Okay, then. So now you got three things to choose from instead of two. Let me ask you a question. Why would you not still choose white? Because God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. That's what the Bible said, at all. So I look at this new compromising crowd, and I just kind of say, okay, man, you've all worked awful hard to come up with this third color. I still don't see why it should change what your choice should be. Now, in this upcoming year, look right up here and I'm done, 2014. I want to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you on Sunday mornings. I'm going to challenge you on Sunday nights. I want to challenge you. Watch it. Shine as lights in the world. But you know what? We cannot shine with the intensity that we ought to shine if we're not willing to follow and recognize and respect the oldest doctrine in the Bible, that God is a God of light. And you know what? If there's things in your life that smack of evil, that smack of unrighteousness, that has Satan's fingerprints on them, and he's authored them, if there's anything like that, or maybe might be like that, why not just move right over here and say, you know what? I'm going to get over here where nobody can argue whether or not this is a maybe, iffy. I'm going to get way over here where it's safe, because I want to position myself where the world's not blocking anything, and I make sure that Christ can shine from me and I can reflect Christ to a dark, lost and dying world. Because, folks, there are people, watch this, that are sitting in darkness in this community, and if they see the light, they may just begin to come towards the light. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, seems like, Lord, we ran out of time quick this morning. There's so much more we could say. But, Lord, I pray that you'll take what has been said. Oh, God, may we mull it over. Oh, God, may we search our homes and our hearts for darkness. May we separate those things out. Lord, help us to be a holy people. Help us to be a righteous people, dear God. May we stand with you. Lord, we're never going to be a perfect people. Lord, thank you for your forgiveness, and thank you, dear God, but Lord, may we never use that as an excuse to live in darkness, to participate in darkness. God, help us, please. Please help us. I pray, Lord, for a revival right here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm praying, dear God, we'd have a group of people just say, you know what? Times are dark, preacher. The darkness, the mist of darkness is overtaking our nation. We need to shine. We need to shine as lights. Oh, God, we need to shine as lights. I pray, Lord, if there be one here without Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they're sitting in darkness, they're lost in darkness, I pray, dear God, that enough light has shone from this pulpit, dear God, to get them to head this way. I pray, Lord, that they'd head towards you. I pray they'd understand that Jesus, God's Son, came to this earth, lived a perfect life, died on the cross for their sin, was buried and rose again, and offers eternal life, offers redemption, offers the opportunity to be born again to each and every one of us. I pray, Lord, if there be anyone here without Jesus as their Savior, dear God, they'd head to the light. Help them to seek the light. Help them to turn from darkness towards light. I pray that they would embrace the salvation that's been provided by your dear Son. Help us, Lord. Bless us, we pray.